You're watching Fanboy Versus with your hosts, JD Church, Nicole Hale, Chris Triplett, and Chris McFeely.
And you are watching, well, not really watching, you're listening to Fanboy Versus. I am your host, JD. This week, we have on the line Chris McFeely and Chris Triplett. Nicole Hale has caught a virus of some sort. I don't know.
She's the legacy virus.
She has the legacy virus. It's just the 90s all over. I mean, every day.
Colossus to sacrifice himself so that she'll be okay. Where's Colossus now?
Right. Is he sulking? So he's sulking again, isn't he?
He's really
good at that.
In X-Force these days, I did read somewhere that he's in need of finding his balls. So yeah, probably just be
sulking again. God. It was like at the end of that issue where like Xavier wiped Magneto after he ripped the adamantium out of Wolverine, that is just like, oh, he was sulking and now he's going to pick up Magneto and go sulk again. God damn it. You suck, Colossus. For being a big, strong guy, you are a fucking jello mold on the inside.
Is he still a juggernaut?
I don't know.
I don't see why. I hadn't seen anything that was undone.
But he is reading Cable and X-Force.
No. No
way. Hey, I got the first issue. I might read it because I got it for free.
So this week it is Fanboy versus True Believers as we dig into, we've got some news. We have a saga of saga. And maybe some other things as well. We're also in the midst of the not WTF month for DC, so every issue you're getting this month has an inside fold, and so we may talk about some of the things we've seen this month. There's definitely, I would say it's hit and miss, maybe a lot of miss.
Yeah. So what are they calling the month if they're not calling it the WTF month?
Do they call it anything anymore? I don't think they're calling it. I think it's ellipses is what it is.
Because like when you get like those covers that fold out, you kind of expect there to be some point to it. Maybe it's an anniversary issue. It's the 25th issue. No, it's the 19th issue.
Every issue I have, the only thing that I am common other than the gatefold is the ellipses. So it's what the dot, dot, dot,
dot, dot.
And then goes on to, so, yeah.
Ah.
So the ellipsis is really the only thing linking these together. So we'll call it the April ellipsis event.
There we go.
For DC. So, Chris, McFeely, tell us news then of things that is news that we should know.
Well, probably the news everybody's been talking about this week because everybody loves a controversy.
Justin Bieber. Well,
look, I didn't even hear about that until you started tweeting about it.
I have no idea what it is either. I didn't read your tweets. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Quick recap for that, because I'm going to be laughing about it all episode. Justin Bieber is on his European tour, and he went to visit like the house of Anne Frank. And on the guest book, he signed it that Anne Frank was a, quote, great girl. And he hoped that she would have been a believer.
What?
Yeah, that's what his like crazy fans call themselves, or believers.
Okay.
So basically, Anne Frank, if she wouldn't have died a horrible death at the hand of the Nazis, that he would hope that if she were of the same age then, now, that she would enjoy his music.
Oh God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a great guy.
I know, totally, yeah.
So, so there's that. Anyway, not, comic news.
Not too bright, apparently, but no. Apparently you're a great guy.
No.
Sure is a good thing he's pretty.
He does have that going for him. So.
So, the news, because everybody loves a controversy, is that the Apple Store, were not carrying Saga number 12.
What?
Yes. Now, Saga number 12. there's a long and terrible story behind
this. Why weren't they carrying it? I mean, did they just get them late? They got them late, right? I mean,
they got the digital copies late.
Digital, yeah.
They ran out of digital copies.
They went to second printing on the digital copies, right? Because obviously something huge happened in it, like Lion Cat became Robin or something like that. Well,
okay. Anyway.
Okay. Let's make that fan art now.
Oh man.
Batman, Lion Cat as Robin.
Oh yes. God! You don't think it's out there with slash fiction?
Surely it's fun.
Lying.
So actual controversy, which is substantially worse than that mental picture, was the appearance of two postage stamp-sized images of uncensored. Oh, my brain is leaping ahead. Uncensored gay sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the opening scene, we get a flashback to when Prince Robot IV was on some battlefield somewhere, dazed and in a blur after taking a shot, and playing on his TV screen head on the very first page, there is an image of a blowjob, and then on the second, there is an image of a bukkake.
Yep, that's what it is.
Yeah, that's not even
not the main point of the action, mind you.
No. Not in the slightest, but quite clearly there to shock. And so obviously, okay, everyone came to the quick conclusion that that's what the issue was. Brian K. Vaughan did weigh in. He said that they wouldn't be changing anything about their comics just to pander to censorship, and that everything was there for a reason. I'm not sure exactly what the reason was for this one, but he commented on that, and of course everybody was in an outrage, and it eventually emerged that Comixology were actually to blame here. They just assumed that Apple wouldn't approve of it and didn't submit it to them.
Yeah,
and none of the. Neither Vaughan nor Staples nor Image checked to confirm the real reason for that, and no websites or news outlets or anything like that checked, and everybody just... Nobody came off looking good at the end of this, except maybe for Apple, who were quite happy to put the thing up, whatever the news reached them.
Thank God! We've been waiting for the sales on this!
Yeah, and let's be honest, I mean, the controversy that has surrounded this is gonna... shove this book along like crazy, because this book is in the top five in most places, and the top 10 in more even more places of digital sales, like in countries all around the world after this now.
Yeah,
you know, I got kind of worried that, and I don't know, you know, what people are thinking when you're running a comic shop, but I got kind of worried that like my comic shop might actually pull these. After hearing the news, and that maybe I won't get my Saga number 12 or something, and I'll be like, wait, why? I want to read my comic. I wonder what happens.
You know, the thing that bothers me, too, is, like, people would throw a fit about those two small images, which are part of the story but not part of the primary story. I mean, they're sort of for their for flavor, for color, to illustrate, you know, craziness, delusionalness going on, I would say, in the mind of someone who is... possibly dying. And then, like, three pages later, there's horrible brain head body explosion.
Yeah.
No one thinks that's awful or, like, shouldn't be seen or anything. That's fine.
Well that happened to a mouse, JD.
But dick's in a mouth. And people are freaking out.
And it's not as if Saga hasn't had plenty of other explicit imagery as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's dicks in a man's mouth. Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Frankly, as far as I'm concerned, that's just vindication of my continuing running theory that Prince Robot IV is struggling with his sexuality.
It could be, yeah.
Yeah, because I was thinking, like, if we were going to talk about just, like, what does... because, you know, like, he's always having these images that pop up on his screen. Like, and we kind of talked about the baby bottle or something, and it was because he was thinking about, oh, you know, I'm going to be... my child's going to be fatherless or something when that image popped up. So, like, what is he thinking here, you know? If we even wanted to touch that, but I guess we probably don't want to even talk about
it. No, I mean,
in the first issue, like, he couldn't get it up to bone his wife.
Yeah, that's true.
Basically, ever since then, this probably isn't just shell shock because he's back from the war. I think Homeboy is having some issues down there.
Well, does that even mean, is it his kid then? I mean,
Ooh. Well, no, I mean, well, this is it. Presumably he's come home from the front a few times if they're able to say that, yes, this is his child, you know. He's not been out, so I don't know. Yeah, no, it's my.
It would definitely be interesting to see if like robot TV head people can like have kids with, you know, non robot head TV people. You know, just
well,
if it goes.
I mean, winged people can have babies with horned people, so you know.
Yeah, but would it have a TV head? Or I mean, the horn, and at least they're organic. These guys are robots.
These guys are robots.
Yeah, well, you know.
Can a TV head fit out of a normal person's?
I don't even want to. Okay, now maybe I don't want to think about that.
Does it come out, and is it just like some hideous techno-organic fish? It's got a TV head and a person's body, and
it's like
LMA.
It's an LMA. It's an LCD. Like it's like one of the, it's like a port, it's, yeah. It starts out as like a portable LCD TV.
No, I would love come up, it's going to be a flat screen television and be like, you whore! Who was it? Whose father? He's
gonna... I would love when that kid is born, if like after this, that it wound up being like an iPad or something. That would just be great. After this controversy, if it just wound up being an iPad.
Wow.
It's, you know, he's big for his age.
This is, So that would be interesting. Wow, I mean, that does kind of go into a whole different direction there. See, this is important.
See?
Saga is an odd comic sometimes.
It is, yeah. but it's still damned interesting. And I mean, I still say that for everything, it's still, you know, this wacky, crazy world that is very normal and plain and simple. So, I don't know. I love it. I still love it, though. And it's funny. You know, the things that are creating, like I said, the controversy out of it, you know. Oh my god! Penises in boys' mouths. Not exploding bodies, or anything. I will say, if one thing, though, for the issue, because we're not going to talk about the main shows, though. Some of the cosplay at the end of this issue is amazing.
It though, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. Just wow.
I love that this kind of, that this is a comic that has inspired that already, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Less than a year into its life.
12 issues in, and it looks like it has an amazing fan base of people now.
Heck yeah. Good stuff. So, what else do we have?
What else is in the news? So, there was a big thing, because everybody loves a controversy, although... There actually isn't really one surrounding this, is the fact that DC have unveiled a transgender character in the pages of Batgirl number 19 this week.
Yes.
It's that really annoying roommate.
Oh. Okay.
Yep. Which is about the attitude that the comic itself takes to it, if you haven't read it. The comic is about the showdown with James Jr., exchange, and you know how the conversation goes whenever Barbara talks to her roommate about it? Two panels. Barbara, I've got something to tell you. Next panel, I'm transgender. Turn the page, and Barbara's off to do superhero stuff with a narrative box just describing that they talked for a while.
Wow.
And
well,
of course,
it's not really played out like that. They're both, you know, kind of confiding in like what's been going on. She kind of tells her what's been going on with her, except for that she's not that girl. She doesn't say that. You know,
I'm transgendered. I'm happy for you.
Yes, I'm really unclear after reading the issue whether or not she actually told her she was Batgirl or not.
She did not. She makes a point. Like there's a comment like after when she's leaving, and she says something like, if she doesn't know that I'm Batgirl, I can still protect her. I can. The Joker's dead, hopefully, but if he shows up somewhere, anywhere, I get her gone. That leaves just Razorblade. We're just Razorblade in the roses. My brother, my very, very dangerous brother. So she did not tell her that she was Batgirl. That's the one thing she didn't tell her. She told her everything else. You know, my brother is crazy as hell. Stay away from him. You know? All this other stuff.
And accidentally does stuff.
He takes mud baths. Yeah,
so
his own
there's really
he's
nothing
crazy
to talk about.
Okay, so that's kind of...
Besides the fact that it happened, the issue gives us nothing to talk about. Which, in a way, is kind of what we would want out of it.
Yeah, I think so.
It's a thing that exists, and that's it.
We wouldn't... Yeah, I think in general, we've been towards the, you know, make it a deal, but don't make a deal out of it.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting, though, that this is... It's kind of interesting that this is in the issue that Yelsiman came back in.
Yeah. Well, she's apparently this has been in the works for a while. She's made references to this before. Is it? Okay, now here... Okay, am I... Right, okay, bear with me now, but am I a terrible person?
Yeah.
For me... Yes, oh. No, okay. But this instance specifically, yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Maybe wishing if that a different writer might have done this. Because... I mean, actually, Paul Cornell had a trans character in Demon Knights last year, and nobody said anything about it.
Yeah, and he even made a point about that. He seemed... I mean, I wouldn't use the term irked, but he seemed to kind of make the point that, like, hello, we've already done this.
Yeah. But then Gail Simone does it, and it's like, oh, everybody pay attention! And I'm like, well, that's another box on the Gail Simone all-inclusive diversity-o-rama checklist ticked off.
Yeah, it does kind of seem like it got press. And, I mean, again, it's like, I don't know. There's a difference to me between a transgendered character and a transgendered, like, hero, I guess? Or, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly what you mean. It's like, honestly, once Gail Simone leaves this book, who's even going to remember this roommate?
Yeah, this character could go away very easily and no one would know or care. Yeah. But
I don't think she's made any kind of mark on the book up until now.
No, other than being, oh yeah, that's her really weird roommate.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Say weird anymore, not racist.
Well, you know, you did say, like, early on that, like, she's going to wind up being, like, this crazed killer, you know, because she had, like, those knives or something, and she was acting kind of crazy with it at one point. You remember
that?
Yeah,
I mean, we always thought she was odd, but we could... And I'm not saying, like, being transgendered is odd, but it's, like, there was some quality about her, I guess, is maybe what I was saying. There was something about the character. She's what?
Quirky.
Quirky, yes.
Quirky.
Very good term, yes. I would agree with that. And like I said, I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying, like, there was just something that was like, pay attention to this character. And, okay, well, there you go. Cool. But, again... It's not the same thing, though, like I said. I think going back, it's not... It's a very different thing to say, okay, this character is transgendered in the comic versus this character is a, you know, hero character in the comic. And again, going back to like the point about Demon Knights, like, well, that was already a thing. It's just like we didn't pay attention. Nobody paid attention to it because it was in Paul Cornell's Demon Knights, and nobody paid attention to that book. I don't think at all.
Well, I bought the first couple of issues. It was not a bad book, but when I realized the Etrigan wasn't rhyming, I lost interest.
Oh well, yeah, that's done right there. I mean,
dude, if you're not good enough to come up with quality rhymes for Etrigan every issue, you're done. In my mind, you're done.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
If Etrigan's not rhyming, it's like,
it's
why
not
are you?
Rhyming. I don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's just not.
That's the best thing about it.
That should be a thing, you know.
Yes.
Do some work. It's not that hard.
That happened anyway. There's not an awful lot to say aside from the fact that it exists, and it's a good thing that it exists. But
I mean, I'm not even saying it's a. I guess it's a good thing. I mean, I don't want to. It's not a bad thing. I'll put it.
No,
that
it's
way.
Not a bad thing. But it's like, I don't know. I don't know what it is, honestly.
I hesitate to use the term...
point yet where you can do that with a transgender person the way you can do that with a gay person in a comic yet.
Yeah.
It's like, and I hate thinking that, and it's like we've credited, in particular, I think, a big example that we often bring up is Max Modell over in Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Where, by the way, he's gay, now we have to get on with stuff. But transgender is not gay, it's a different thing, and it's...
Well...
You know, I don't have any hang-ups about it or anything personally. Like, no, I've got to cover my tracks, got to make sure everybody understands what I'm saying. Yeah. You know what I'm saying. It's like, it's just, yeah, there's a reason this is the first time this is happening in comics. There's a reason that this is getting so much press for being one of the very rare times this has ever happened in comics. And I don't think you can be flip about it. I don't think you can just go, by the way, transgender, moving on. You know,
no,
I think you got to do something a little more with it than that if you're going out of your way to put it in there.
Yeah, I do think it needs to have some weight. And that's why I say it's like I don't want to blow it off. Transgendered is this really, it's this complex thing because I think, you know, in that sense, it's like people want to equate it with, it does get equated with, you know, homosexuality.
Yeah, LGBT.
Right, but transgender is still, like, it's a whole separate thing because what we come to when we start to think about transgendered is we start to realize that sex, sexuality, and gender are not interconnected things. They're entirely separate things. And I think that that's like the point that we have to get to now in terms of public consciousness is, you know, just because, you know, transgender they've been categorized with the LGBT just like that, but they fall outside of that category for a lot of people, even within the, you know, gay community. It's tough, man. That's like, more power to the transgender people, man, because those are tough people.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They are living the hard life, you know, to be who they are. And, so, yeah, I mean, I think maybe you're right then in that sense. I think it does need more weight than just,
she is.
Yeah. If for no reason to bring point to that, because this is, I think, I mean, it's a nice way to at least bring attention to the issues, if that's something that's going to come up, you know. And I would trust Gail Simone to treat it well and not have it just be a thing where they're like a villain or a punchline in a movie. But
I mean, she'll treat it with respect. I mean, absolutely. I think of the writers that would be doing this, you know, I think that that's, you know, not something that she's gonna,
yeah,
you know, do something horrible with it.
Yeah. It's complicated. That's an interesting.
Oh yeah.
Very interesting. So.
Yeah, but that's about it as far as news really goes. I haven't noticed anything else this month, and I can't remember anything from last week of any note that hasn't already, you know, come out in comic form and moved on in the news cycle since.
Yeah.
Didn't a comic creator pass away last week?
Oh, yes.
Silver Age.
Flash,
right? Yes, Infantino passed away last week. Oh, yes, yeah. That would be terrible if I didn't remember that, so yeah. I didn't, so I am terrible. Yes, oh goodness, one of the most significant creators of the Silver Age, famed for his run on Flash, co-created dozens of famous DC characters that are still recognized as some of their biggest characters and published today, responsible like with writers like Gardner Fox for founding the DC multiverse and things that define like the golden era of DC.
Sort of set the house style for DC.
Totally. Carmine Infantino is to DC. It's a name that is not recognized by the public the way Stan Lee and Jack Kirby are recognized, but Carmine Infantino is to DC what Jack Kirby was to Marvel. His significance cannot be understated.
Well, I mean, that issue of Flash, I mean, it's like, if you want to say, like, where does the Silver Age start, it's that issue of Flash.
Yeah, yeah. Showcase, you know? Number four.
Yeah, and, I mean...
whatever one it is.
Yeah, and so it's like, you know... I mean, you know, it's like, I did. I had a few people that was like, oh, man, this dude died. And they're like, who? I'm like, he ushered in the Silver Age. Okay. No? Okay. Yeah.
I mean, I gotta admit, like I did not know his name, but I definitely knew the cover. I mean, one of the covers that stands out in my mind when I think about comics.
Yeah, it was really. It's always amazing to see, you know. For me, it's like I follow a lot of these creators on Twitter, and you know, sometimes I kind of question. It's like, why am I following all these people? And then when something like this happens, and there is such weight like within the community, I think it's interesting to see, you know, how many creators are affected by something and like how they were inspired and motivated by, you know, by some of these greats. So
yeah, I mean, they all come together. I mean, like, even if you go back to like you know, when Peter David, you know, had his stroke, mm-hmm. you know, they all came together on Twitter. It's like, you yeah. know, you see, you know, make sure that, you know, say a little prayer for, you know, Peter David. I mean, it's almost like they're, I mean, they may work Marvel, DC, Independence, whatever, but they're almost all like a big family still.
Yeah. And interconnected in terms of their influences and things as well. So, so yeah, that was really interesting to see, just to see all the people reacting in terms of, you know, what the influence was for them, and, you know, to think about this, you know, you kind of think of this, like, unbroken chain, as it were, you know, from, you know, the creators of the past, you know, into the present, so, and then that will carry on, but in a very sort of hug each other way, I guess, if I'm going to be a little emotional. Not emotional. I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. But anyway, so, yeah, that was big news last week. Crazy.
What besides that? Well, I suppose we got a few details on Marvel and DC's upcoming event stories. We found out that Trinity War is it's a six-part story, and it's actually going to run in Justice League, Justice League of America, and Justice League Dark. It's not a miniseries or anything.
Yeah.
And going to run as a crossover in those three books, while Infinity over at Marvel is going to be a miniseries, and I believe is 5 or 6 issues long. So that's good, too.
Did I see that it's also going to cross over a little bit with Earth 2? Because I saw some Earth 2 characters.
I'm sure they'll books that will have tie-ins on the front of them that month, you know?
Yeah. You know, I was wondering, like, you know,
are those 2 months?
If
two
and months. When they're going to actually do, like, a crossover with Earth 2. Like, do they need to? And if they did, when would they do it?
I would like to see it. I would like to have them wait. You know?
I'd like to see them play some softball together.
Well, I mean, we already have a little bit. Yeah, totally. We already have a little bit in the sense that, well, Mr. Terrific from Earth One, Earth New, I don't know what you would call it, is now on Earth Two. You have Power Girl and Huntress from Earth Two on Earth One. So, I mean, there's a little bit of crossover in that respect, but I'd really like to see Earth Two get pretty well established before they start to go, you know, too crazy with the multiverse hopping. What I'd really like to see would be to just undo Flashpoint. Can we do that?
Undo what part of Flashpoint?
All I mean, of it. I was talking to Brian this week, and I was like watching. I was mentioning this before the show, but I've been watching a lot of Justice League Unlimited, and it has made me pine. For pre-New 52, and it's just like,
it really makes like the pre-New 52 comics was anything like it was either.
Well, no, but just like some of the characters that were around, it's like, okay, that character doesn't exist.
It makes
that
character's completely changed. That's what it is. It makes you miss Wally West.
But a lot of characters, even in Justice League, in the cartoon, are rendered as they were in the Golden and Silver Age, rather than even were current whenever that was on TV.
Yeah.
So that was a good example of that.
Booster, though, you know, more time with Booster. Even if he's in a background shot, it's more than he's getting.
Well, he's in All Star Western this month. Remember?
Yeah, I've got to make sure I get that. I mentioned that at my shop. He said that there was something that came out that they thought it might not be him. I don't know.
I don't think he's on the WTF cover.
No.
That'd be a great cover. Like, you see, like, some Western dude on the cover, and then you turn the page, and there's, like, Booster Gold on the other side. That would be a good one.
I think that's what it is, isn't it? Probably.
That would be awesome.
That's probably what it is.
Yeah. It's like, on the other side, he's on a robot horse. You know,
heck yeah.
Yeah.
Booster Gold on a robot horse?
Yes.
Fine. So, I don't know, though, but it's, like, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's some things that I like. It's like, by undoing all of that, it's like they're able to put back, like, Huntress's, you know, like, bits of her origin. But now Power Girl is awful. She's so terrible. She's just an awful character. I don't know how.
I tell you, I think she's a villain. I think we just don't know it yet.
She might end up being that way, because she's
such an asshole.
She's just awful. Like, I mean, it's amazing... It's amazing in this book because you know, on one side you have Huntress, and like Huntress is really interesting, you know, raised by Catwoman and Batman, and so she's, you know, kind of rides that line a little bit, and you know, she's always very in her head and thinking, and a lot of the book focuses around her. And then you come to, like, you know, Power Girl, and she's like a pain in the ass. Like, yes. She just takes everything, you know, uses money and power, you know, like they were candy. It's just...
She's obsessed. That's why I keep saying that. Yeah. I think she's going to wind up being a villain, because what is she doing? She's obsessed with getting them back.
Yeah.
That's all she cares about. Huntress, yeah. She's like, we're here, let's just...
There's nothing to go back to.
There's nothing
really
to go back to anyway. That just, yeah, like, go on with our lives. She doesn't want to do that. That's why I think she's going to be the villain. I like the Huntress that we've got now much better than the Huntress we had before, sure, because I didn't care anything for Huntress before. But the fact that she is Batman and Catwoman's daughter, but she's in the regular universe, I think that's kind of interesting.
Oh man, yeah, and when you know, and I wouldn't, I'd be interested to see how much of that, you know, how on the radar she is of Batman, you know? Like, how far is Helena on Batman's radar at this point?
Yeah, like, if he maybe even knows... Like, I mean, he probably does know. I mean, he's Batman.
That's what I'm saying. He's Batman. It's like, how much
it'll probably come up.
You know? So I'll be interested to see. I'm looking forward to some things like that. I mean, World's Finest is not one of my favorite books right now. It's not my least favorite, but it's not one of my favorite. I hang on because I like Huntress, and I'm really interested to see when or if we'll get some payoff in terms of her meeting up with Batman. But Earth 2 has been consistently strong. So
I stuck with it just because of Perez's art, and I don't even know if he's still doing the art for it, because he did not do it in the newest issue.
Nicholas Scott.
Oh, well, that's good, too.
Yeah, the art wasn't bad. I'm just saying, like, you know, he was he's an I picked up this book.
Nicholas Scott has been on it for a couple issues, so.
Even more than the
Secret Six.
Yeah. So. Well, anyway, I guess we could talk about then comics that we have read. So.
Yes, that happened.
If there is no other news, then.
That's about all I can think of.
So.
Yeah, I can't think of nothing else.
Okay. Well then, Triplett, you may take it away, sir.
Yes. Thor, God of Thunder. Number 7 came out.
Book
is good. Book continues to be good. I mean, this storyline's going on a little bit longer than I thought it would, though. I mean, that's like my one takeaway from this, is like, we ended the first God Butcher story, and I kind of thought it would end after, like, what, 6 issues?
Hmm.
But it didn't, you know, it just kept going. And now we're into, like, I guess maybe it's this
story.
Say what?
Seems like it's a year-long story.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, do you feel like, you know, when issue 6 ended, that it ended in a way that, like, okay, if they do a trade of this, that this is a good stopping point for the trade? Or do you think...
Trade. I mean, I think that'll stop with issue 5, probably, the first trade.
Because, like, it just kind of goes right into, like, the next thing, you know? Like, you know, Thor's, you know, our Thor, you know, the present-day Thor is now in the future with the... Thor, who is basically Odin, and they're going to, you know, basically team up to take down the God Butcher, because old Odin Thor, he'd become basically just sad and just given up. I mean, God Butcher is just attacking him like every day, and he just wasn't fighting him. He was just he kept begging. He just wanted to die. I guess he wanted to, you know, join everybody else, because everybody else is dead. He's the last god. But now, like, you know, Thor's back, and it's like he's got, you know, he's got his energy back. He's, all right, you know, there's another god here, and it's me. That's awesome. It's like I get to talk to somebody interested now, me, you know? He's kind of, like, got everything coming back in it. But, go ahead.
I'm saying?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something.
Didn't
say anything. But it's the book itself, I mean, it's kind of like that. It's like Thor... Current-day Thor and old Thor are just, like, talking about how they're going to go, and they're going to, like, settle it, see if they can, you know, finish the God Butcher. And you get all these, like, little in-jokes, which I thought were cool, about where old Thor was, you know, talking about, oh, have you done this and this? And he said something about, like, you know, have you gone to the sun and become, like, a space cop yet or something at some point? Did you read it?
What? No! Oh, well, forget I said anything then.
You forget I said
it. That's awesome.
If you're truly me, shouldn't you remember this happening? Remember coming here and meeting yourself? I can hardly remember how to buckle my own trousers.
Oh my god.
This is like travel we're talking about. There are all manner of annoying rules governing this sort of thing. Yes, I've always hated time travel. And you always will.
He talks about like some sort of a... I love he talks about there's this chamber in the East Wing that, you know, Odin never lets you go into. Well, you know, you can go ahead and go into it now. You'll get what you need in there to prepare you for the battle. And he goes into the room and he thinks, oh, I'm ready for battle. I don't need anything. I don't need no weapons or nothing. And he opens the room and it's full of nothing but ale. And he's like, well, I suppose one drink wouldn't hurt. Yeah. So even though it's like dire situation and like it's craziness that's going on, you know, the God Butcher has pulled the young Thor into the future. You know, the earliest Thor that he encountered. And you know, I don't see why he doesn't just kill him. It looks like he could. You could just kill him and then eliminate both of them.
That's the Thor that humbled him, though, so he's got something special going on here.
Yeah. But, like, the end is what was really interesting. The stuff with the librarian and, what's his name? The god that that survived the god. Yeah. And he kept saying, like, you know, oh, I'm the god of, and this, he says, I'm the god of baubles and ballerinas. You know?
Pancakes and tambourines.
Pancakes and tambourines.
Oh, my god.
And like the librarian's like threatening him, and he says, you know, forgot, you know, he's like, if you make me, I will look for the book that tells me what you actually are. You know, tell me what you know. Tell me more. He says, oh, it's nothing. He says, I am only Shadrach, God of. And then you like find out, and he says he's the god of bombs, and I guess he's built this thing for him that's going to get rid of all the gods.
Yes, yeah. The god bomb for which the story is named.
Yeah. Great comic. Like, literally, if you're not reading this comic, you're kind of missing out on, I don't know, it might be the best Marvel comic I'm reading. I don't want to give it, like, too much high praise, but man, it's the biggest surprise.
It is one of Marvel's current best, definitely. It's
the biggest surprise for Marvel now, because I was not expecting, I was expecting Thor to be okay. I mean, it's Thor, it's going to be Thor, you know what I mean? But, I mean, it's really good. And I can't sing its praises any higher. It's fantastic. Highly recommended.
I think my favorite line in this issue is it starts with we cut back to young Thor's time, and he's obviously just enjoyed a night of wenching. And I think it's Sif who is among the women who is laying with him, but he wakes up from a nightmare with the God Butcher, and he thinks that he's out there coming for him, so he grabs his weapon and he goes for the door, you know, and Sif follows him and said, "You should know, I make war like I make love, naked and in a berserker rage."
Wow.
See, I wasn't sure if that was Sif. I kind of thought it was, but they didn't name drop her.
I wasn't sure because there were a bunch of women, but she said she was a shield maiden, so I figured that's probably Sif.
And maybe I should have noticed, you know, something. But I don't know, the art is like, the art is really good. But art is like kind of, I don't know, painterly kind of looking, kind of super realistic looking. And maybe that's why I couldn't tell that it was Sif, you know, because...
Well, she's also buff, so in the buff, so she's not wearing her traditional armor or anything. There's nothing to tell you that it's Sif, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. And man, God, I wish that JD would have read freaking Uncanny Avengers, because I wanted him to talk about that, because it has sort of a crossover with that version of Thor. That version
You're talking
of Thor.
About the axe, right?
Yeah, all the stuff with his axe, yeah, because it's...
We'll get there.
Yeah.
We'll get there.
But yeah.
It's going to be okay.
So good. So good.
Well, that drawing of Apocalypse on the cover was pretty dreadful.
Yeah.
I do have that issue. I just haven't... I've got to read the one before I read it, so... Gotta.
And it's not like the book itself was, like, exceptional or anything. It's just that it's so damn goofy.
That's what I mean. That book is just so off the wall. I mean, everything up to that point is...
So seriously, even then, I'm still not sure what I think about the whole thing. It's like, it's doing really wacky shit, but it's doing it straight, and I'm like, I'm not sure what I think about this.
But I don't want it... That's the whole thing. Like, that's the way you should do it. You should play it straight.
Yeah, because, like, this is not the book we thought we were getting at all.
No. No.
To pay for it on a monthly basis now that Cassidy's off the art.
But the artist that's doing it now, Daniel Acuna, he's really...
He's done that issue. I don't know if he's the new regular artist or anything, but I know he did that issue.
Yeah, he did this one. I don't know if he is going to be regular, but the art is great in this issue.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cassidy's a good artist and everything. I mean, great artist whenever he's doing his best work, but Uncanny Avengers has not been his best work.
No.
And that apocalypse is terrible. Like, it's really awful.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Yep. That it? Good?
That's
okay. Okay, so some quick hits, and then I'll talk about something, which I kind of changed what I was going to. Anyway, Hawkeye, first of all, you should read.
Hawkeye. We can't let an issue pass without doing it. It's...
This issue is The Girls. It's great. It kind of goes through three parts of people that have beef with Clint. And basically it's four women, actually. So it's Black Widow, Mockingbird, and Spider-Woman. And then there's also sort of Kate at the end of this. But it's great because it kind of goes through the work wife, the ex-wife, and the new girl that is a... Friend girl.
Nah.
Yeah. So, but it's basically them kind of dressing him down for, I don't know, getting the crap beat out of him by this Russians all the time. And, I don't know, not being straight with them. So, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. It's, I mean, Asia art is still just freaking amazing. And then, you know, otherwise the issue goes great. And then right at the end, something really, really awful, 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 awful happens.
Oh, right.
Awful. Okay.
So you're saying it's awful?
It is.
Okay.
So you should read it. You should also be reading Earth 2. So this will be, I guess we hadn't, so this, I'll be the first to mention one of these DC covers from this month. So, yeah. There I was having a conversation with Brian about how it would be really great if a certain character came back. And lo and behold, they're coming back in the New 52. But this issue is a continuation of sort of this magic user story. We get a little bit of backstory on Wotan in this issue.
Wotan!
How he got his green skin. Basically, she gets reincarnated, but keeps his memory. But Nabu put a curse on him so that he would have the green skin every time, so he would be able to, so that Nabu would be able to recognize her. Him.
Are you saying there's no other people in the DC universe with green skin?
I guess not. Well, not magic users that would want to kill Nabu and take his helm. So, but a lot of this is also Guy being cool. And, you know, being kind of superhero-y. And then you get to, like, the middle of the issue, and it's, like, a stuck-in part with Steppenwolf and his fury, and she's gonna go out and hunt the lost son of the High Father.
What?
Yeah! It's Mr. Miracle! Big Barda! They're hanging out in the remnants of Gotham, which apparently has giant monsters fighting in the background for some reason. But,
it's too creep in DC lately.
There's what?
A steady creep of Earth 2 stuff. Not Earth 2, Fourth World stuff.
Yes. Yeah, because wasn't there a crossover too in, like, Wonder Woman, I think?
Orion. Wonder Woman. Yeah. And people are talking this week about how the fold-out cover for Wonder Woman has shown them getting busy.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
He has been smacking her butt a lot in the comic.
But after a bit of lead up, we do get in this issue as well the first appearance of Earth 2 Dr. Fate.
I do enjoy Dr. Fate.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And he looks great. The costume is awesome. So it's very cool. Which
version of him is this one? Is he like which guy?
It's Kaled. But Kaled was an apprentice of the other guy. And
the original one.
Yeah, there's a conversation that he has with Nabu in here where he...
I mean, it kind of doesn't matter, like, who the host is.
No.
It's because, like, when they put the helmet on, it's Nabu anyway.
Yeah, Kent Nelson was like his teacher, but Kayla's a, I mean, Kayla's the one that decides on the name because, you know, basically, like, Nabu's like, okay, you'll become Fate, and he's like, Dr. Fate, because I want some part of me in there, and I am a doctor, so it'll be Dr. Fate. He's like, okay, cool. That works for me.
All right.
So yeah. So this should be the end. I think the next issue is called Magic War, so we should finally see Dr. Fate and Wotan beat the crap out of each other with magic, so that should be fun.
They're not calling themselves the Justice Society yet, right? I mean,
enough of them to be. I mean, really, the only term that was even coined before then was the Wonders. I mean, even the previous, you know, superheroes were just referred to as the Wonders. They never really got to form a Justice League or anything like that because they didn't.
I want them to get a name, though. I want them to be the Justice Society. At least give me that.
I mean, the allegiances aren't even completely played out. I mean, You know, even though we have a nice set of characters now, we're not, you know, Sandman seems kind of loyal to the, you know, like, part of the government, and that goes the same for, what is the guy's name, Adam?
Adam. He's like a government dude.
He's like a government guy. Yeah. Hawk Girl is, you know, she's got a whole other agenda that we just found out about. You know,
is Green Lantern still an asshole? Because he's been an asshole.
He's always an asshole, but yes.
Alan Scott was not an asshole prior.
Alan Scott in this universe is an asshole, yes.
An asshole.
Doing with his gayness.
He did meet up with his dead partner's father, and his father informed him that actually... See, originally he thought that the target of the train explosion was him. But it turns out it was his partner.
Yeah. Yep.
So that turned out to be a really interesting twist. But we've been into this magic story, so it's sort of... It's kind of nice because it's not, like, burning out the stories. It's really doing a good job of, like, let's focus here.
I was just asking if he was in any gay romantic relationships. Not
oh, no, he is still in mourning for
it's
his...
Just, I mean, it's just a big thing out of it. I was wondering if they were pushing it at all with anything like that. But that's good that they're not.
Yeah, I think they're... No, I think they're being really cool about it. And, you know, he's still, like,
so
mourning.
That whenever you get a big thing, it's like poor old North Star can't appear in a comic without being the gay guy anymore.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like it's not that they haven't made reference to that, because even like, you know, like the guy's, his dead partner's father was kind of like, yeah, I didn't really approve of y'all, but he loved you, so you know. But you know, it's more like story elements are unfolding now. This guy that died, it's not seeming like he was just, you know, a die character, you know, a character to die to give the hero motivation. It's like, well, there was this whole other thing going on. So that's interesting. But no, they've got a nice, I think they're very organically building like this second generation, not second generation, but like this second age of Wonders, for Earth 2, and not doing it in sort of a thrown together way, like it's seeming to have purpose. You know,
they're sort of like the Silver Age of Earth 2, but they're the Golden Age characters. But you know, the Silver Age characters were the first ones.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I would say, yeah, they're very.
It's all wobbly. It's all mirror universe-y.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, they're all dead. You know, so you know, this is the second. The second age of Wonders for Earth 2. So, and I think they've done a reasonably good job of not crossing over too much, you know, in the sense it's like those characters that you would think of in the primary DC aren't having Earth 2 counterparts, you know. It's like they're one place or the other, you know. So I like that.
I like that. That's taking it back to what the original point of the universes was in the first place.
Yeah, to have one place or the other where the character was.
I mean, I think that taking Alan Scott and Jay Garrick out of the DC universe, you know, ruins them or diminishes the DC universe. I mean, I was sad to lose the whole generational appeal to the Justice Society that Geoff Johns brought to it, but I'm okay with it, you know. The addition, Hawk Girl kind of sticks out of my mind as an odd one that they're doing it with.
Oh, Earth 2? I think it's the point that they want to have both of those characters, but they want to keep them separate.
Well, I don't... they're both called Hawk Gender. It's like,
well, but haven't they flipped it though? It's like, I guess her, I can't remember now. She's not been in an issue or two. She does have the organic wings.
Yeah, her wings are attached to her body. Is Hawkman from proper DC?
I don't know. I don't know what way they've done it or anything. I'm not keeping up on it. I'm just saying it's weird that they're doing that.
Yeah, but there again, it's like there's so much history and issue with like putting them together and blah blah blah. It's like, I don't know. I think it's
just because Hawk Girl hasn't showed up in proper DC doesn't mean she won't.
Yeah, but anybody's going to cross over, it would be. I think you would see that character cross over. But she's kind of got the whole different agenda, you know. She's fitting in well on Earth 2. I'm liking her there. Because, like I said, the character, it's like just when you think you got it figured out. And that's true for a lot of these characters. Like, just when you think you've got them kind of figured out, you know, then there's this, like, allegiance switch that happens. And it's like, well, that's not. Not really the direction, you know. It's not really who they are. Oh, you thought this was a good character? Yeah, they're really bad. Oh, you thought this was a bad character? Yeah, they're actually not, you know.
Yeah, I'm not, like, from what I've read, and I'm not as caught up as you are, but, I mean, I'm not totally convinced that any of them are good characters, honestly. So
they're good guys, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, they have powers, but beyond that, you know, some of them are using
Garrick is probably the...
Seems like Jay Garrick is the closest
Jay,
to him.
Why
don't
you keep saying guy? Jay Garrick, yeah.
I was confused for a second there.
Seems like Jay Garrick is the closest to being the one that I could say is a good guy, but then, like, you think, like, you kind of think that Hawk Girl's one of the good guys, but then maybe she's not. Yeah. You know, maybe she's doing something else. So, yeah, it keeps you guessing. So that's an interesting thing about
it. It's a really good book. I think it's an underrated book. I think, you know, I think more people should be reading it. I think it kind of got the
underrated titles, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think some people
putting out a lot of crap at the minute, you know. Yeah. So it's hard to be quite sure whenever you're talking about an underrated DC title, is it deservedly so? But no, Earth 2 definitely, after a slightly wobbly start with all of the press and everything, it seems to be one of DC's more underrated ones.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
It's still a shame about Jay's comic. That costume.
That costume is terrible. Yes, I want my 40s costume back. Oh, I want my Domino mask. Yeah.
It's just fine.
I prefer that. It's just green
it is
and
terrible.
Generic looking. It's awful. It needs a redesign. That's the one thing I hate about the comic is, man, his costume needs a redesign, like, now. He needed it 6 months ago.
But he looks... okay.
Anyway. No, he doesn't.
All right, so one thing I do want to...
costume is actually better. There's not many 1930s Golden Age superhero costumes that are better than they've turned into. But that's
on,
one of
them.
That's one of
a bucket and a sweatshirt is like the better of the two costumes.
It is actually better than what he looks like now, yes. It is so bad.
Wow. Okay. So, quickly, though, I do want to talk about Deadpool a little more in depth. This issue is, I would call it experimental. it's hilarious in the way it is done. And it's one of those things where it's like, you really have to read the letter at the beginning in order to have it take full effect. But even on the cover, it has the Marvel Now marked out, the Now part, and it says Then. And it's a play on the demon in a bottle.
Oh, yeah. Man, I get it.
So, but it plays on that even more so. So there's a whole letter from the desk of Jordan D. White that's talking about, hey, Deadpool fans, you know, by the way, the next story isn't really ready yet. So we're going to try that. We're going to do this thing where it's like we're going to pull out a, what do they call it? It's a... a stock story, I guess, or
inventory story.
Yes, where it's like an inventory story, and it's a really old one. It's back from like, you know, the 70s or early 80s. They're not really sure, but anyway, here it is, and have fun. And so the whole issue is done in like the very sort of, I mean, in some senses, it's kind of a mix of like newer and classic, where it has like the pointillated, like the very pixelated colors,
Bronze Age.
Yeah. And everything is like, you know, 70s, late 70s, early 80s cars. Deadpool is perfect in this. I mean, he has a cape. He has a cape. His chest is DP, but it looks like the classic Daredevil D's. His boots have, like, the bell flares at the top. Ugh, brilliant.
So he looks heroic as hell, is what you're saying.
He looks insane. I mean, he just looks... It just looks absolutely insane. But the main story here is that there's some mid-ranking demon that's trying to gain, you know, favor or whatever, and so he makes a deal with Deadpool that, what is it he's going to... I can't remember what he tells him he's going to give him, but what he wants Deadpool to do is to get Iron Man to drink and to basically go back on his alcoholic binge, you know? And there's all kinds of side stuff in this, like, you know, I don't know, Hulk Hogan.
Hulk Hogan?
Yes. There's a beach sequence. They're driving by the beach. There's, like, Hulk Hogan with, like, a girl on each arm. There's, like, in-jokes from the time, like, talking about laser discs. Like, Deadpool's talking about wanting bigger laser discs so that you don't have to turn them over. In the middle. He walks in on a guy, like, robbing a liquor store. And the guy is, like, you know, killed the store owner. So Deadpool, like, just kills him and then takes the stuff that he needs anyway.
Yeah, but you're leaving out how it's done.
Well, which part?
The liquor store. Where it's all done as a Hostess fruit pie ad, but with liquor instead of fruit.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, that. Yeah, party time fruit liquor. Yes, you're right. Yeah, it's done as like the Hostess ad. Yep, you're absolutely right.
Oh, God, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's... Oh, my God, this book is so brilliant. Just for
I mean, the idea of the whole thing is that it's actually a legitimate... They're claiming it's a legitimate story from the Bronze Age that was somehow left over somewhere.
Yeah, well, like, and, like, even, like, this part where, like, Deadpool comes in, he's like, I'm the Deadpool. He's like, yeah, you might want to drop the V. Iron Man's like, you know, just drop the V. And he's like, well, how did you find me? And there's, like, an Iron Man-shaped hole in the wall. He's like, well, I'm not Iron Man. And he's wearing the Iron Man, like, underwear and glove. It's like, oh, well, damn. Anyway... Deadpool actually does something really brilliant in this issue as well, which he basically, after they pour out all the booze, he knocks out Iron Man and then puts on the armor himself and goes on a drinking binge.
Oh, God.
And then flies around town and actually saves a reactor from overheating by just dumping the, you know, the radiated rods into the ocean, thereby harming it for several millennia. But then at the end, like, he ends up tricking the demon, because on the contract it just said get Iron Man to drink. And he's like, well, I meant Tony. He's like, you said Iron Man on here. And I drank a lot. And then at the end, Cable shows up with a fucking colander on his head. He literally has, like, he's, like, an arm ripped off. He's totally in, like, his retro look. And he's got a colander, like, I mean, I'm sure this is, like, a Back to the Future maybe reference or something. I don't know. But it's, like, he's got a colander on his head with some sort of wires. And he's, like, you've got to come help me. And he's, like, maybe about 10 years or so for you to come back. And Deadpool's, like, oh, well, that explains where I've been until 1991. So it's a brilliant issue. It's just a lot of fun if you've read a lot of old comics and stuff. It's definitely probably more fun to read than anything for that. But what a way to do a filler issue, though.
I guess it's not. Well, I suppose it is a filler issue, sort of.
Yeah, I mean, in a sense, that's kind of what it is. I mean,
the sense that it doesn't follow on directly from where the plot left off. But I don't know if, like, you know, yeah, I know what you're saying.
You know what I mean? It's like, but just like. What a wacky way to just kind of do a one-off issue before you go into whatever it is you're going to do next. And sort of play on the Iron Man premiere as well. I mean, it's a nice way for, you know, for Deadpool to sort of to play off of the Iron Man movie premiere.
Oh God, Iron Man's coming out.
I know, right?
Dude, is Iron Man already out for you, McFeely? Have you already seen
it? No, not yet. It's
you guys get it like a month before we do, don't you?
No, it's not quite that bad. today, what's today? Today is the 14th. Not next week. Not this Friday coming, but the Friday after that we get it.
Oh, so that's only a week ahead of us.
I think it's only a week ahead of you guys.
Yeah.
I'm still going to be rubbing it in 2 weeks' time, though.
Yeah, I'm sure.
You're going to be rubbing it out? What? No? Okay.
Don't be violent.
Oh, okay. After you watch the movie? No? Okay. All right. What? All right. That is me, though, so you may go on and fill us with whatever awesome it is that you read.
Okay, well, I'm actually going to talk about something a little different, a little bit unusual. This week I read Mega Man number 24.
I heard that you were going to be reading some things like this.
I like Mega Man. This is interesting.
No, I don't give a shit about it.
The video game, not the console.
Yes, the video game Mega Man. The Mega Man, yes. Rockman. Yeah. Now, I don't give a shit about Mega Man.
Okay.
I don't aggressively dislike him or anything. It's just not a thing. It's just not a thing to me. But the reason I've picked up Mega Man 24, you see, is because Mega Man 24 is part one of 12 of the Worlds Collide summer epic that Archie is putting out as Mega Man crosses over with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Holy God.
Yes.
Really?
Wow.
Yes, real. This is the thing. This is a big thing.
Huh.
Now, I mean, Archie have been trailing this for nearly a year at this point. I mean, they revealed it at an early summer convention last year, so we've just been waiting until now for it to come out. And you guys know, I've brought it up before, but I was a huge Sonic fan when I was a kid, and I'm still a Sonic fan now. But I don't have much attachment to the Archieverse version of Sonic. The version of the Sonic story that is brought out by Archie Comics and has been consistently since 91, 92, that has made it the longest running video game comic ever. I was raised on the UK's Sonic the Hedgehog comic, which was more about representing the world of the games. Well, it was about representing the world of the games.
I just wish that the game that they're adapting that from was better. I'm sorry it's not that great. But the comic is probably awesome.
What? What was that?
The game. I just wish that the game was better. Because if we're going to talk about Sonic.
What's Sonic?
Any of them. If any of them were better.
Right. Okay. Turn around. Turn
around. Wow.
And get fuck up.
I'm sorry.
Wow.
To be fair, though, I really like Sonic 2, but that's really the only one that I really like. I'm sorry.
Man,
I'm sorry.
he just took a dump on your world there.
Well, you've still got the Mega Man part of this story to enjoy.
Yeah.
So, this is the first part of a 12-part story, so I may come back to it later over the next couple of months. It's being published across Mega Man, Sonic, and the Sonic spin-off title Sonic Universe. And it is very much a case of part one, part two, part three, published across the three comics. You do need all of them. It's not like the three comics are telling their own story the way so many crossovers work in comics these days. Worlds Collide. And this is the setup issue. I mean, now, this issue is all setup. And the broad strokes of the setup are that following on from a Sonic event from a year or two ago, which I also happened to read because it was called Genesis. I think I talked about it on the show. It was called Genesis, and it was about adapting the original Sonic video game into the Archie continuity. Because
I think you did. That was
the Archie continuity does not really represent the world of the games in any way. It takes the basic idea of there's a hedgehog and there's a guy that makes robots, and it builds this. This world around them that owes very little to the games, in only the most vaguest senses, and has gone off in other various strange and unusual and entertaining directions. So that's why they adapted the original games in this reality rewriting event. But anyway, the power of the Chaos Emeralds, which we all know from Sonic, allows Dr. Wily from the Mega Man universe to make contact with Dr. Eggman. His name is really Robotnik. Dr. Eggman.
I prefer Robotnik, by the way.
Yes, well, that's correct. We'll see. You're not all bad, then.
Thanks.
That's awesome.
But this version of the character is called Dr. Eggman for complex continuity reasons that I'm not going to go into.
They make contact across the dimensions. They are able to breach the dimensional barrier, come together, merge their technologies, build a new Death Egg Skull Fortress style thing, and set about pitting the forces of each of their separate worlds against the heroes of the other villain's world. It's a surprisingly dense comic, you guys, and there is so much wibbly wobbly timey wimey setup that has to be gone through to get everything in place that this issue could very easily have just been the two characters very dryly going through the motions and setting it up. But what they actually managed to do in the course of the whole thing is it starts with a little flash forward to give us a taste of the Sonic versus the inevitable heroes fight through misunderstood circumstances before they team up and realize that the true villain needs to be taken down. So we managed to get a couple of pages of Sonic versus Mega Man before we jump back in time and show how it all came together. And we get our first smart melding of the concepts from the two universes together as well with them. Dr. Wily's Robot Masters technology from Mega Man and Eggman.
I need to know one thing, though. Is Woodman in this comic?
Well, no actual Robot Masters have appeared yet. Because
damn it!
They merged the powers... they merged Dr. Wily's Robot Masters technology with Dr. Eggman's roboticization technology, which is the technology he uses to turn living Mobians into robots in the Archie continuity, to make the roboticized Masters, and he turns Sonic's friends into Robot Masters versions of themselves.
Oh god, so like if you land on them when you're doing the flippy jump thing, do they explode and then they like pop out of the robots?
See, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about, where Archie just took the very basic idea of Sonic. There are animals and there are robots. And so in Archie continuity, it's like they're turned into robots and that's it. It requires complex, invasive technological and mental surgery to turn them back to normal. Over in the British Sonic the comic, yeah, you jump on that fucking robot and explodes an animal pops up. Yeah.
Wow. I love,
jump on it and like a bird flies out of what was in the body. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that is how it works in Britain, and that is the right way. But no, it means we get Tails Man and Knuckles Man in the course of this comic.
You know, this is surprising. Like, thinking about it, it's like, this is almost like kind of a no-brainer kind of thing. I mean, it's like, in terms of the villainy, you know, that they face, it's like very similar.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen covers for later in the story that's going to show like characters like, you know, Mega Man's dark rival Bass, or Bass, I'm not sure which one of those, I'm assuming it's pronounced Bass. I don't know Mega Man. Him and Shadow from Sonic on one cover. We've seen Proto Man from Mega Man and Knuckles together on another cover. There, and of course, Eggman and Dr. Wily.
Bass because of Rockman, because that was the whole point. You know, he's Rockman, so this is Bass.
Oh, yeah, of course, Rock and Roll and then Bass. It must be Bass then, yeah.
It has to be Bass.
But, This is what really surprised me is it's tons of friggin' fun for just being an issue that is about the terminally vague, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly setup and the frankly, I don't even know what the right adjective is to describe the reaching and the stretching of credibility that has to be done in order to set up the time and space bending scenario that this permits. They somehow managed to make it tremendous fun. It's like, because you know when you normally get two evil scientists together in any kind of story, they eventually start to... Is that Woodman in the background there? Maybe.
It looks like a little pudgy guy wearing a tree, because it is, if it is.
I think that might be Woodman.
Yes!
Nice.
Nice. He throws leaves at you.
Yeah, he does.
Well, you know, but Dr. Eggman and Dr. Wily get along super well. It's not like they're two villains with evil plans at odds with one another who are teaming up just because circumstance it'll be beneficial to both of them. I really hope it doesn't result in the inevitable one tries to betray the other type scenario, because these guys are getting along super well.
Yeah, you know, it's coming.
You like that? It makes sense because it looks like they're both from like the Mustache Club or something.
Yes, they have huge mustaches. Yes. It's like they use they create a new zone. I mean, that's the way that Sonic
Archie Sonic works, where the zones from the Sonic games are like these little pocket dimensions instead of just parts of the planet. And, you know, Wily wants to call it the Skull Secret Zone, and Dr. Robotnik wants to call it the Egg Pocket Zone. So they're like, Skull Secret Zone, Egg Pocket Zone, Skull Secret, Egg Pocket, Skull Secret, Egg Pocket, Skull Egg, Skull Egg Zone!
Nice.
And then, you know, they make a new they make the Death Egg 3. No, it's the Wily Flying Fortress Doctor. And they just silently look at each other, and then they completely silently rock paper scissors one another for it to get the name. No. They draw three times and they go, Wily Egg, Wily Egg. Congratulations.
God.
It's really I was surprised at just how much straightforward fun it is, and as I say, it's the amount of exposition required is ridiculous and is terminally it's pulled very tight as far as credibility goes, but they just have so much fun with it, and they managed to fit so much in to what could have entirely just been like two blokes sitting and talking through their plans. This could have been, you know, this could have been a prelude issue before everything got really started, but they used like flash forwards and things to manage to squeeze all the info in. And a big part of why I would really recommend this to anybody who likes just Sonic or just Mega Man, because I really just am interested in the Sonic element of things. It seemed like it would be big and fun, so that's why I decided to get it. They use a vestigial plot device left over from the last big reality rewriting Sonic event. And it's really, like, within the story, it's really vague what it does, and it offers you up a footnote to go and check this month's issues of Sonic and last month's Mega Man just to see the effects of it. But basically, they use this thing that Robotnik has invented called the Genesis Wave to just...
I think I saw that Star Trek movie.
It's essentially used to... This is going to sound a little weird, but I have to compare it to JLA versus Avengers. Because if you got... You guys read JLA versus Avengers?
No.
You're talking about the last one, the Kurt Busiek one?
Yeah, the big crossover, yes, Kurt Busiek yes. Parents.
Yes,
well,
I read that one.
Well, you put in that about halfway through... Reality gets a massive kick in the arse so that a dream team of characters from all throughout the team's history can be assembled.
Yeah, there's like an Avengers team or something that's got both Justice League and Avengers. Or
just it's like by the end of it all, it's like so you can have a living Hal Jordan and a living Barry Allen and things, which did not exist at the time.
Yeah.
And they could put the dream team super classic versions of both the League and the Avengers together. Well, that's what this is for in this. It's Archie's Mega Man continuity is relatively young. It's only 2 years old, and they have been adapting the games in order, as far as I understand it. So there are characters from later games like Bass who don't exist in the Archie continuity yet. So this Genesis Wave has just been used to essentially boot aside all annoying issues of continuity and just pull all the classic signature characters from all across Sonic and Mega Man history so they can all appear. Essentially, so that the video game versions of the characters and not the comic book versions of the characters can appear in this crossover together.
Wow.
I mean, as I said, we haven't actually had a Sonic issue yet, but I like we get Knuckles Man, Tails Man, Rose Woman, and Shadow Man by the end of this thing, and I don't know what Shadow's status quo in the Archie universe would be, whether or not he would be allowed to be around for that to happen to him. But none of the covers or any promotional artwork for the series has shown any of the Archie exclusive characters, like the Freedom Fighters, like Sally Acorn and Rotor and Bonnie Rabot and Antoine and all the major supporting cast members of the Sonic universe, of Archie's Sonic universe, that just are not part of the games, who, by all rights, should be in a story like this if it involves the merging of their universes. This Genesis Wave thing seems to have basically been used to just hip bump those guys out of the picture for 12 issues so we can have the iconic fixtures of the Mega Man and Sonic universes recognized world round meet in a slap bang summer crossover event. So that's why I would really recommend it to anybody with any interest in either of the two franchises. You really don't have to know what has been going on with the characters in Archie's continuity at all. You just need to know who is what from the video games and where it can go from there. I was legitimately surprised at how much fun they managed to make such a setup heavy issue be. And I would really recommend it to any video game fan who might be on the fence about it. No, seriously, go for it. It is tons of fun.
Sweet. Cool.
Yeah, especially Mega Man. I could totally go for that.
See, Mega Man... Fuck Mega Man, I don't know.
Mega Man's awesome. Mega Man 2 is great.
Yeah.
Totally. I don't think I've ever played a Mega Man game.
I wouldn't hate you if you never finished a Mega Man game, because they're hard as balls.
Yeah, the first one especially, holy crap.
But, like, yeah, I mean, just playing them, the music, and just, you know, the wacky robot
characters that you fight. What, you know, what sub-powers work against what...
order that you need to beat them in is cool. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's like the puzzle within the puzzle, you know.
They're great games.
I honestly don't know, but I've never really seen anything to suggest that Mega Man really has much of a thing going on, like, outside of America and Japan. It's certainly not here. It does not seem to be something that... It just doesn't have that... Like, he's only got a comic in the last 2 years, you know, that's what I'm talking about.
It's not a huge thing right now, because, like, Capcom is really sort of... They've shitted on Mega Man lately, because the anniversary for Mega Man hit, like, last year, and the big anniversary thing was a free downloadable Mega Man versus Street Fighter game, which was just, like, a fan-made game. I mean, that was the anniversary thing for Mega Man.
Yeah,
it did not... anything for the anniversary.
Yeah, Mega Man has been shit on for like the last decade or more. Yeah. I mean, it's really...
They had so many plans for Mega Man. Like, there were like two or three games that were going to be big games that looked really good that they just canceled at the last minute because the creator of Mega Man left Capcom. Capcom was like, oh, we don't give shit. Sorry. Yeah. The fans are like, oh, we want this. And Capcom's like, oh, we don't give shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if you want some good Mega Man loving, then you might want to go and pick yourself this up, because I think it's going to be tons of fun. I mean, as I say, I haven't been following Archie's Mega Man, because I don't care. But they have, as I understand it, been adapting the games in order, so I don't know how many of them they've got through. This is Mega Man 24, so I think that probably means they could be four games or so in, maybe? Or maybe four or five.
Just got to go to Mega Man 2, and then they can stop. They don't have to get past Mega Man 2.
Mega Man 4 was good, I seem to recall.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're just straight going through Mega Man 1, 2, 3. I mean, I think they're taking later games that occur earlier in the timeline and adapting them like in the order that they should chronologically occur.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I think if you go through like 4, I think 4 is good. And I think like 5 and 6 started getting like, yeah, here's the Cut Man again. Or here's the
Egypt Man again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like in Mega Man X, I like Mega Man X the first
yes,
one.
The first one is good. Yep.
Yep. Video games.
Video games.
Yeah, video games. If you like video games, I would get it. Yeah, you really don't need to be too bothered about the Archie continuity or anything. It seems to be going out of its way to be very accessible. They've sort of recognized the potential mass appeal of this crossover, and I think they've gone out of their way to just simplify it down to the core, widely recognized elements of the franchises rather than the things that are exclusive to what Archie itself has done with them over time.
That sounds good. And then maybe they'll fix it and make it more like the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, I doubt it.
Yeah, okay, probably not.
Yeah, people are figuring... I believe, like, as I say, I don't know because I don't keep up on Archie Sonic, but I believe Princess Sally has been roboticized in recent events in the comic, and people are figuring that the reality-warping events of this will be used to de-roboticize her when it's all over and done with.
Mm. You just need to jump on her, and then she'll be okay.
Yeah, you just have to jump on her.
Not in Archie, if they were doing it right.
That's awesome.
But I'll tell you what else I read this week. Well, started to read this week. This is just a quick nod, because this is not the sort of thing people are going to rush out and drop cash on. I finally cracked my Thor by Walt Simonson omnibus this week.
Ooh.
Yes. And you guys, seriously, the hype is true. It is that friggin' good. It is so good.
Is that Thor gets turned into a frog? Is he in that part?
It's in there, but it's not. I am nowhere near there. I'm only about a quarter of the way through the book at the moment, and it's in the third quarter before I'll get there. But that was that. But it is so bombastic and mythic. It's just it's actively exciting to read. And I mean, as I say, I'm about 12, 13 issues into it now. And it's like, there's a subplot that's been running through this from the very first issue that's just reached fruition now. And I'm like, do you remember when comics used to work like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about it. But, you know, honestly, I don't think I've ever read a single issue that he did of Thor. I've seen cups.
Little snippets here and there. They published his Bolder the Brave miniseries in a trade, along with a couple issues of Thor that were necessary to read it. And I read that, and I thought it was great. Yeah. I mean, again, that's around the halfway mark or so of the run where that falls. And I know I've read a later issue from the Secret Wars tie-in, from Secret Wars 2, because I read the Secret Wars 2 omnibus, so that was in there. But, yeah, beyond that, I legitimately have not read, you know, so before, like, a year or two ago, I had not read any Walt Simonson Thor omnibus, despite my deep-seated love for Beta Ray Bill, who is the first issue in the friggin' book.
Starts
with a four-parter starring Beta Ray Bill, and it only goes from there, you guys.
Wow.
No, I mean, it is so actively exciting to read as a comic, just so full of Sturm und Drang. Every time Thor does anything, it's hammer up to the sky, lightning bolts crashing, you know. Hear me, you storm! Hear me, elements! Rise up in your fury! Really, awesome. Yeah, totally. Speak, Mjolnir! Speak in the tongue of storms!
Wow.
Stuff like that, yeah.
He just jumped on Indestructible Hulk, because I read the first issue he did.
Yes.
He's doing the art on it now. It's really cool seeing that, too, because, like, Thor shows up in the issue, and it's actually a Thor from the past, so he's in, like, the original costume Thor. So he's probably doing some of that shit that you just said he's doing back in that run.
I mean, something that actually took me off guard whenever I picked up the book, when I looked in the book for the first time, is that the coloring is all remastered and done digitally. And I sort of went, ooh, I'm not sure what I think about that. I would have thought an omnibus format was about, you know, preserving the original for posterity, you know. But, and in large part, you can't really, in an awful lot of cases, go back to old line art like that and put modern digital coloring techniques on it and it'll come out looking okay. They just don't match. But they friggin' match. And it's a real testament to the quality and the timelessness of Simonson's line art in these comics that with this digital coloring, it makes these things look like something that could have been published today. And with the art that he's doing on things like Indestructible Hulk and some of Bendis' Avengers there not too long ago as well, really do just look like work he was still doing today. It is truly fantastic stuff. I mean, I'm telling you this 30 years late, but I'm just reading it for the first time now, and I'm like, yeah, the hype is true, seriously. I mean, I'm not going to tell you to rush out and drop the $125 that the omnibus costs if the omnibus is even still in print. But, the July solicits for Marvel did come out this week, and they are reprinting the paperback editions of Walt Simonson's Thor. So, cool. Come July, go get yourself some Beta Ray Bill Walt Simonson Thor.
Neat.
Because it's that good.
Sweet. Well, I think that's it then.
Yeah, I think so.
I think that's our show this week. So,
For the end of the show, because it's kind of a bad week.
It's kind of been an odd 2 weeks, really. I mean, we pulled from 2 weeks of stuff, but kind of been odd light, so we'll see what we get next week. So, a couple of things. Go to website, tfradio.net. That's where you can listen to the show. tfradio.net/live is where you can listen to the show live every week. That's at 4 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. GMT. I do want to encourage you. Do you have an Android device? If you do, you should get our Android app. You can do a search for Fanboy Versus. That is going to allow you to download the show each week when it's available and listen to it on the go, wherever you might be. So if you're traveling about, or if you're just on the work drive back and forth, you can take it with you. So, like I said, go to the Android Play Store, and download the Fanboy Versus Android app. That way you can get us wherever you may be. We will be with you wherever you are. You also go to our website. Also, because, dear God, we have, like, no downloads for that. Like, literally, we have, like, 90. For comparison, another podcast on our network has almost 900.
Screen view, right?
No.
Get the skinny?
No.
What was that the rock music podcast that those guys were doing?
Rock music. Did we have one? I guess. I know that there was an MMA one as well.
That's the one, I think.
Yeah. Rock music and MMA, very similar. No. That's a superhero time. But anyway, so you should download it. And yeah, it'll be good. You can take it with you. We'll be there. We'll be there with you. So also, you can go to our website, which is fanboyversus.com, and find all of our past shows. You can catch up. If you haven't, on all the cool stuff that we've put out there. 142 episodes.
My God.
I know. It's insane. Also, follow us on Twitter, at FanboyVS. We live tweet. Occasionally, we try to post things throughout the week. But we'll also give updates about the show starting and all that kind of stuff. So if you do want to listen live, it'll be there, and show postings and all that. So there you go. Nice rundown. Important thing. Android app. Download it, please. So, anyway, that's it. That's our show. Hopefully next week we'll have a full cast. We're kind of in this rotation period. I don't know how that happened. But hopefully we'll have everybody back next week. That'd be fun. So, for myself and the crew, thanks so much for tuning in. And please tune in next time when it'll be Fanboy versus...
This has been Fanboy Versus. Visit us at tfradio.net for show notes and to subscribe to the podcast. Follow us on Twitter at TF Radio for news and updates. Like the podcast? Leave us feedback on iTunes. Copyright 2011, Radio Free Cybertron.